Get Lost on your iPod.
We have our first review of Adobe CS3 online.
All that and more, My Mac Podcast 131.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
And it's a sweltery spring day here in the lower part of Michigan. And our buddy from Germany, Klaus Wolf, is actually in Ann Arbor, about an hour away, Chad. And
we were just chatting with him on Skype.
I wish we'd had more time and we could have brought him on the show. He had a business meeting. That's why he's in Ann Arbor. And we really need to get him on the show, not just a pre-recorded message or anything, mm-hmm. but actually get him on the show and chat with him. Very smart guy, very nice guy, and can't wait to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of Mac news this week, or Apple news for that matter, but we've got enough to fill a show, I think.
Oh, I think so.
We do have a review coming up from Robert Hazelrig, and of course, David Cohen's off again this week.
Mm-hmm.
Some much-needed rest.
Oh, good for him.
And John Nemo's off this week as well, so it's going to be us and Robert Hazelrig. Mm-hmm. We were going to have Robert on the show as well, but his work day kind of went over, and he couldn't make it either. Nobody wants to talk to us, Chad.
Jeez.
Poor lonely guys.
Yeah, it's back to where we started.
John Farr has his first review of the Adobe CS3 suite up, this time Dreamweaver. He gives it a 4.5 out of 5. It's, of course, Dreamweaver up to this point has been a Macromedia product.
Right.
Now it's from Adobe. It looks like Go Live is dead and gone, and Dreamweaver is the future. Mm-hmm. And, well, not just the future, the present as well.
Yeah.
John seemed really excited to get it, and he was even more excited to write the review in that it was a very good piece of software. He's very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're running on a fast Mac or, say, an Intel Mac, this is going to be the way you're going to want to go soon.
And you've just migrated to using Dreamweaver yourself recently,
yeah, haven't you? Yeah, and there's a learning curve. When you come from a competing program like Go Live, I was used to the workflow in Go Live.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think the workflow in Go Live is still more Adobe-ish than Dreamweaver is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they migrated a lot of Dreamweaver stuff to look more Adobe-ish.
Yeah.
Is Adobe-ish a word?
Adobe-ish?
Adobe-ish. Adobe-ish.
It looks Adobe-ish. Like mud bricks.
Yes. I'm getting it, but I keep going to areas where I should be able to find the applets here and drag. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I can't. It's not there. And I'm finding little things that, for instance, in Go Live, I could drop an applet, and it said right there, you know, do you want to do a QuickTime applet, whatever it was, a Flash applet, you know, that sort of thing. In Dreamweaver, it's all Flash-based stuff. Instead of saying a QuickTime, it's all Adobe product stuff. And it's like, well, you know what, people don't just work in the Adobe family. Where's a quick droplet so I could drop in a QuickTime movie so it formats everything correctly?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found that yet. It's probably there, but where it should be is just
not where you expect it to be.
Well, no, it's not there. It's all Adobe-centric technologies like Flash. And that doesn't help me. It wasn't a Flash movie. And this came up when I was posting Donnie Yankolo's plop review.
Mm-hmm.
I keep wanting to say ploop. That would be two O's.
Yeah.
Ploop. Plop. Yeah. That looks like a pretty interesting program.
Mm-hmm.
It takes drawings, kind of inflates them, makes it kind of a faux 3D type of thing.
Yeah.
And you could create a little movie, and there's a little Flash movie up there that we put up there. Did you look at that?
You know what? I haven't even read the full review of that. I scanned through it, but haven't really done a lot of reading on the website. Actually, what I've been doing is I was really impressed with David's review of the MindJet. Oh, I see it now. That is impressive.
Neat little thing, isn't
it? It's cool.
Yeah, it is. I like it. So you were talking about MindJet?
And I'm working on a project where I could use a good mind mapping software. So I did download the trial version for 21 days and got to tell you, very impressed.
Really?
I mean, I've used the mind mapper function on Microsoft Visio. And really, compared to like using MindJet Mind Manager, Visio is like you know, scratching on a cave wall with a piece of poop.
Really? I mean, it's that bad?
That clunky compared to MindJet. It's, wow. MindJet's very smooth, very intuitive, and very, and it looks nice.
How are you going to buy the full version then, or are you thinking about it?
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
How much is it? Three? Was it?
$200.
$200? Well, maybe we can simply get them in as a guest and to give away a copy. We'll request two. We'll give you a copy and give a listener a copy.
You never know. That might work, so...
The power of media. Hi, we're from MyMac.com. We want a copy of your software.
Very nice piece of software. Very intuitive. And, you know, the features you want are right there.
I'm going to be coughing a lot today. I'm still... Allergies. My sinuses... I don't know what's going on. If global warming is real, and I say it is, and most scientists agree with me...
Well, you got to remember...
It's extending this allergy season.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, trees are... budding earlier, they're spreading pollen earlier, and you know, you're basically, your lungs are full of tree sperm and there's nothing you can do about it, so.
Tasty.
But you know, I've even noticed, I normally do not have reactions, but recently when I've been out in the forest at our family property, I've been having allergy reactions. Just like the anaphylactic reaction, your throat feels
like it's tightening
like somebody's
up.
Pouring dirt down your throat. Exactly.
Al Luckow, we had him on the show a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's the webmaster for Steve Wozniak's website.
Yeah,
he's good friends with Steve Wozniak. And he's a designer. He's the designer, for those who follow the Mac scene closely. I don't know, maybe a year ago, it was all over the Mac web, Steve Wozniak's metal business cards.
Yeah.
They looked really cool, too. Well, Al is the guy who created those.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, the last time I was talking to Al had nothing to do with my Mac or anything. We were just chatting via Skype, I think.
Yeah.
And I was complaining about my sinuses, and he says when he first got out to the Bay Area, he had the same problem. And he uses this saline type of solution that he literally pours into one nostril until it comes out the other side. And he says since he started using it, and he does it every day, since he's been doing that consistently, mm-hmm. he never has a problem. Never. So I bought some of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I haven't told him yet, though. Because I told him when he told me that, I told him, I said, I don't know if I could do that. That's just, ugh.
Yeah, forcing stuff up your nose is something I wouldn't, ugh.
And so, but I wanted to try it. If it works, it works. You know, I'm willing to try almost anything if it's really going to give me some relief.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it a few times, but I haven't been able to do it consistently because you're not supposed to do it if you're already stuffed up.
Mm.
And since I bought the stuff, I really haven't been clear enough days to really get into a...
routine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does say, you know, to warm up the water to room temperature or a little bit warmer.
Yeah, you don't want to get a headache.
But, you know, I did it cold a couple times, and whoo, I tell you what, it's... cold water going up your
true
sinus
blue
cavity.
Brain freeze, my friend.
Oh, my goodness. So, it was kind of funny, last week, we were talking about the desert island. Mm-hmm. If you had to go to a desert island, and you got stuck there, what computer would you bring, and what two programs would you bring?
Yep.
Robert Hazelrig sent me an email. I don't think he quite got the concept of it. He keeps thinking there's internet connection, and there's not. You mm-hmm. don't get internet connection.
Right.
And he said he would take iLife, so he could make videos and mm-hmm. listen to his music in GarageBand, and you don't get your music in, you know, you get two apps. You don't get text edit. You get one application, or suite, if it's something mm-hmm. like that, and one game. That's it. No internet connection.
Yeah.
He was making a joke of, you know, I'd want QuickTime Pro so I can view porn. Well, no.
No internet connection.
No, no internet connection. Sorry.
Unless you're going to be making your own.
I don't think so. I don't think that's what the iCheck camera was really for.
No.
But I had said I would take StarCraft.
Mm-hmm.
So, two things about this. We did get feedback from Rune.
Because we did request it.
Specifically from him. And also in the news this week, a new version of StarCraft. StarCraft 2 from Blizzard Entertainment is...
Yeah, I wanted to change my selection now that that's been announced.
Oh, wow. I did pick StarCraft, but I didn't specify the first StarCraft.
No, you didn't.
So mine is StarCraft 2.
And any associated expansion packs.
That may or may not come. Now, they didn't say when this new... version of StarCraft is going to be released.
No, everything
I think it's going to be probably September or November.
You do? You think it's that close?
Yeah.
Well, what I've read is that the team was has actually been in development on this since the release of Warcraft III: The Frozen Throne, which is in 2005.
3 years ago?
Yeah, almost 3 years ago.
Hmm.
So it may be closer than they wanted than they. But then
average game development is 3 to 4 years. So yeah. If it was released. Yeah, that would work out sometime maybe this year, or very at the latest, early next year.
Yeah, but knowing Blizzard, I mean, the one statement Blizzard did make is that we will release it when it's ready.
Well, South Korea is crazy when it comes to StarCraft, and I completely understand. Mm-hmm. StarCraft is the game in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they announced it and showed it there, and they literally had Super Bowl-type of crowds watching it. It was just amazing. It was like a rock concert for a video game, but that's how big StarCraft is in South Korea. I mean, I wouldn't even bother to play there because they would kill me so fast.
Oh, no kidding.
I can't imagine that they would show as much as they did without it being right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Blizzard has a lot of money right now.
Yeah.
A lot of money. I don't have the figures in front of me, but they released their last quarter profits. It was amazing money. It was holy crap, how much...
Well, you know, I think one of the real powerful things is with World of Warcraft subscription model, that gives them a continuous cash flow to count on.
And they've got...
It's not about publishing anymore.
They got 8.5 million users of World of Warcraft at $15 a pop.
Mm-hmm.
Holy moly. They've got some money coming in.
Yeah.
Plus sales of the Burning Crusades, the expansion. Was it Burning Crusades? No.
Yeah, Burning Crusades is the expansion for World of Warcraft, I think, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah, I think so. And
as you can tell, neither of us are WoW players.
So. Well, I've played it. I can't.
You reviewed it for them.
Yeah, but. Yeah. And the one thing that I was really pleased about StarCraft II is they sent me the press release via email, and I posted it up on mymac.com.
Mm-hmm.
I have received a copy of every Blizzard game.
Yeah.
For the Mac. Almost, what, since going back to 96?
Warcraft 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they even sent Burning Crusade, which we gave away up at the Apple Store.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people wanted that, remember?
Yeah.
No, not really. just the wrong audience for... I mean, I'm sure it's a great game, but you need the full version to play it.
And I have a feeling that many of our listeners do play World of Warcraft. I'm sure there's equally as many that probably don't.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's only 8.5 million. I'm sure we reach more than that, though. Maybe not. But anyways, yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting my hand. And if they don't send me a review copy, they will. But if they don't, I will buy this game.
Yeah.
This will be the first Mac game that I am willing to actually pay my own money for in years. Years.
Yeah.
Because, well, what has it been? I've got a 360, I've got a PS3, I've got a Wii, I've got a PS2, I've got a GameCube, I've got all the...
Right.
And that's what I've been playing. In fact, I was playing Halo 3 Beta right before I came over again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, this was the first time I played it since the last time we did the podcast. Got to do the podcast tonight? Better play some
Halo 3,
Halo 3
talk
Beta.
About this, yeah.
So, you know, I get my video game fix there. And then when I get to my Mac,
right.
I'm working. That's what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at some of the Mac game sites out there, and I just don't see anything that I think, wow, I need to have that. I see stuff, and I think, you know, that's just a warmed over flavor of, you know, such and such title on the consoles. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just think PC gaming is, it makes a lot of money. For stuff like Battlefield, where there's huge online communities that play it, and WoW, World of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. It just doesn't hold much appeal to me. It really doesn't. I look at the online, or the PC gaming, and I don't see anything happening there that's really spectacular either. The big news in PC gaming is the release of Halo 2 for the PC,
mm-hmm.
which requires Vista. I'm sorry, Halo 2, you got me a copy of Halo 2 for Christmas, what, 3 years ago?
When I came back from Indianapolis, yeah.
Yeah, that was your Christmas present to me that year. I remember I was...
Yeah.
In fact, you got me the special edition in the metal case, and I was blown away. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. You thanked me already.
I know, but still. So that game's like 3 years old. It just comes out on the PC. Why does it require Vista to run?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know why, because Microsoft wants to sell more copies of Vista, and they think, oh, Halo 2 on the PC will help do that. No, it won't. Anybody who really wanted to play Halo 2 would have bought an original Xbox and played it there, or played it on an Xbox 360. Makes no sense.
And for the price of Vista Ultimate, you could probably do that right now if you wanted to.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. So, I just don't see any compelling reason to play games on my Mac or booting up into Vista
and
play it on the PC.
Well, it used to be that, you know, you had, you know, the consoles were powerful, and then they were weak, and then the computers took over, and the PCs had all the good games
because they
had, because they had all the power to run the latest games, and they had some great developers doing it on the computer. And then once the consoles outstripped the capabilities of the computers,
well, I think that and realistically, the mass going for HDTV, that it will literally look better running at 720p or 1080i on a big HDTV than it will on your 20-inch monitor.
Well, I think the other thing that was important, too, was the incorporation of online collaboration and playing across a network for the PC, for the console games.
Yeah, that was always...
Because that was the last bastion that computers had, is you could get online and fight somebody else.
Absolutely, and I used to do that all the time. I can't tell you how many... oh, geez, what was it? Halo, the original Halo. I used to play that on the Mac all the time. And I never was found wanting a game. There's a game. StarCraft. I could still put StarCraft in and immediately go to Battle.net and play somebody. Immediately. Yeah. They'd kick my butt.
Oh, yeah.
But I could do it. And you just didn't have that community aspect when it came to the consoles. Well, that's changing. That's changing a lot. In fact, that's pretty much the thrust of all the new consoles, with the exception possibly of the Wii. But I think StarCraft 2, at least for the Mac, and you know, here's the nice thing about Blizzard. They're releasing the Mac and the PC version at the same time.
Right, because the last time they did StarCraft, there was actually like a year delay between the PC and the Mac.
No, it was all released at the same time. There was just that long of a delay in the game itself.
No, I think because you had...
I had StarCraft over a year before it was released.
But it had already been out for the PC, I thought.
I don't think it was.
I could be right. I used to think there was a delay. I thought there was a delay between those two.
It was almost 10 years ago at this point.
I know.
So it's... I'd have to go back and check. But they've consistently released all their games for both Mac and PC. I can't think of any Blizzard game that wasn't available on the Mac.
Right.
And at least for the last 6 or 7 years...
They've been... Yeah,
for both release, same-day release.
Yep.
Which is awesome. Because really, if it's an online multiplayer game, and it comes out to the Mac 6 months later, and you jump in a game, you're a newbie, you just get slaughtered.
Yeah.
And that there's a barrier there where you're like, you know, I don't even want to try.
Because
I'm just going to get killed.
Yep.
I mean, you try to join a game that shows that they've never played, and you know...
And they're lurkers.
They've been waiting for a newbie to come in and just slaughter you. Just embarrass you. And it's so demoralizing, you don't even want to play again. You're like, ugh, I'll just go against bots or, you know, play the single-player game and go that route.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to StarCraft. And going back to the Desert Island scenario, Rune Anderson, you want to read that? Or can you read it from there?
You know what? You're going to have to read it from there. It's kind of squinty for me.
I can. What happened? What I do, Chad?
I don't know.
Rune says that we requested feedback specifically from him, and he's right, on the last podcast, 130. And he has three reasons to send feedback to our show.
Reason number one, if you get good service, you give good service back.
And thanks. He says
that
likes our podcast, and obviously we love doing it, and we appreciate the compliment. Don't think that because we've been doing this for so long, in fact, longer than almost every other podcast out there, that we're somehow, we do it, and yeah, thanks for the compliment. No, it really, really does mean a lot to us when
Absolutely.
We get feedback, and someone says that, hey, you guys are doing a great job. And it really does mean a lot to us. We're not professional podcasters. Well, we are, but we're
not.
Because
we've been at it so long.
Yeah.
To put us in league with people who are doing radio broadcast and switching to podcasting or posting a radio broadcast.
Or that's all they do is podcasting. That's not what we do.
No.
But we are professionals. You know how I know that?
How?
Because we have commercials. Here's one right here. This podcast is sponsored by Audible.com.
If you can hear it, it's Audible.
Check out MyMac.com. We do have banners at the top and on the side of the page to Audible. You can get a free ebook right now, yours to keep for trying the service. You can try it for 2 weeks for free, and if you don't like it, you can cancel your service. But you're not going to want to cancel because Audible has some great content, and it's a free ebook. What you can't go wrong.
That's right.
And an ebook, as in it's being read to you. Yeah, that's an Audible book.
An Audible book.
But they call them ebooks, right? Or is it?
No, ebooks. No, ebooks are something you read on. PDF, you can download PDFs, or you can download to an ebook reader. So
we have a new ebook venture that has been in the planning stages. And in fact, we've got Donnie's book raring to go. I have just not had the time to get back to updating our website mm-hmm. with our new graphics and rolling out the ebooks. Yeah. And it's just been a crazy time for me lately. And the pregnancy of my wife doesn't hurt. Pray for the nub.
Pray for the nub.
Number two reason on Rune Anderson's.
If you know that you can help a lot of people by sending a feedback, and perhaps more listeners want to send your feedback to your show. So basically,
yeah,
you can help somebody by sending feedback.
Yeah, and you're helping us.
That's right.
And we do encourage everybody to send feedback whenever they want. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to rip anybody if we disagree with you. Well, you know, we're nice guys.
Yeah.
And last, if you're a fan, you're a fan. In this case, a podcast fan. As you, Tim, and Guy said before, without listeners, there wouldn't be a show, which is absolutely true. We have another show that proves that nobody's listening to. And it's barely a show.
It's barely a show. It's whenever we feel like doing it, we do one.
Well, you know, I think and what we're talking about is dung bowlers.
Yeah.
The last one was so mean-spirited on my part. I was really in a bad mood that day. I didn't feel good. Well, I had a stomachache, remember?
Oh, you ate the pasty, I know.
Yep. And what was the little ditty that you did at... Oh, yeah. Tim ate a pasty.
And now he's feeling nasty. Yeah. That's right.
I like that. I think what we should turn that into is stories.
Yeah?
Yeah, talk about, you know, stories of our past. That's the kind of stuff that I think people would enjoy.
Well,
and I've got some crazy stories that I could tell.
I'm sure you do.
And if I don't have some, I'll make one up. There was this one time when me and Rune was hanging out in Amsterdam.
Oh, no.
You know, Rune is the big pimp. He hooked me up with this little hashish. Oh, boy, I tell you what.
That Rune, let me tell you, he knows how to hook a guy up.
He knows how to hook a guy up.
Okay, back to Rune's email response. If he were on a desert island and he could only have one computer, one program, and one game...
Without an internet connection.
His computer would be...
a Mac Pro quad-core with a 20-inch Apple Cinema display or a 17-inch MacBook Pro if a screen were not an option. He said he would choose this computer before him because the performance is so extremely high and have several options for the NVIDIA graphics card.
Good point.
Good point, definitely. His software would be iLife 06. He says this software suite has iTunes for music listening and GarageBand, but you don't get to listen to music because I'm just assuming there's no music on it.
Unless you just want to thread a bunch of little GarageBand licks together to make your own songs. And of course you can
sing,
could too.
Do that. Yeah. Yeah, and you can make your own podcasts in iMovie if you wanted to. Burn them to DVD, except, you know, you're on a desert island. So. And you really couldn't do too much because eventually you're going to run out of hard drive space, right?
Yeah.
What do you do then? Got to go delete some stuff. Of course, there's nothing else on the machine, so maybe you have a lot of space. And he can also do some Mac tips, and he's saying that he would use Apple's text edit since this application is including in the Mac OS, but we excluded that.
Yep.
Nice try.
Yeah, a guy tried that too, and we stomped him out.
Yeah,
you stomped him out.
Yeah, I don't get it. Text edit's not there.
Games.
And he picked a good one.
He did. Doom 3.
This game is fantastic with lots of great graphics and lots of fun to play. It's a game that I wouldn't be bored with after playing it for a long time. It's also a great shooting game I played in Windows very long a time ago. Yes, Windows sucks big times, especially bad Mac OS X copy called Vista.
Yep.
It would be great to play this game on a powerful and fast Mac, like a Mac Pro or a MacBook Pro, if the screen was no option.
Yep.
So I think that's a good choice. I would personally go bored with Doom after a while, especially because it's so dark. And you're all by yourself on this desert island.
And I see. I've never even seen Doom. I've seen Doom 3. I've never played any of it.
It's kind of a scary game. Yeah. I mean, it's a first person shooter, and you're on this installation, and basically a pit to hell opens, and demons attack you. The most grotesque looking things that you can imagine. I mean, don't get me wrong; it's cool in the game looking, you know. But I mean, realistically, if you saw these things, you'd freak out.
You'd be grabbing a gun. You'd go,
right.
Ah.
So I don't know if Doom would want to, if I would have that as my company for a year by myself. I'd have some funky dreams, man. Mm. You know, I don't know.
Well, I would be playing Lost on the iPod.
Yeah, that's the other new game.
And before we sign off with Rune, he does give a shout-out to David Cohen. Says he appreciates the fantastic fenestrations that gives the window switchers very good tips and useful information, which I think is true, too.
I think so, too. And, of course, we're not pressuring David to get back anytime soon because...
No.
Yes, we are. Hurry up and get back, David. So, Apple released a Lost game for the iPod. Lost as in Lost the television show.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't downloaded it yet.
No.
I don't know if I'm going to or not. A part of me wants to.
Just to see it.
Just to see, yeah, it's like, well, maybe I should, well, I don't know. If you want it, it's only $5. Since neither one of us have used it yet, wouldn't it be nice if you can download these games and also play them on your computer? As well as the iPod.
Then it would be worthwhile for me, because I don't have an iPod with video. Right now I'm using a first-gen iPod Shuffle. And the only reason I'm doing that is because I made a deal with my wife.
Uh-oh.
And the deal was this. She said, you can fix your current iPod, or you can wait until the next-gen iPod comes out and get one of those.
Well, that's kind of probably a good idea.
Yeah.
So I know, I thought, you're just driving you crazy.
Well... And the shuffle's all right, but good Lord, the USB connection is... You know, I'm so used to having the FireWire because I just download stuff and it's right there on my iPod.
Right.
This thing's like, oh, wait a minute, got to figure this one out. Oh, I got it now.
Okay,
throw another one in there.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, my iPod's working great, and it is a 60... Is it 60 or 80? 60 gig.
60 gig, I think, isn't
it? iPod video. Fifth generation, not 5.5. So I could play this game. I don't know. It looks kind of cool. It looks like a game circa 1997, 98. But I thought we would just read some of the reviews that's posted up on the iTunes Music Store. I'm not going to say who it's by and all that because some of them are goofy.
You
want to
tell them what the
letters.
Rating is, though?
Yeah, this one gives it a 3. It's out of what, 5?
3 out of 5, I think, yeah.
The game is very simplistic. It chronicles the events in the TV show as Jack tries to do these tasks by interacting with others. It's a standard RPG game with very simplistic controls, which, duh, it's iPod.
Yeah.
The loading takes forever, but it is kind of amusing. Overall, I bought the game to catch up on the story of Lost, since I didn't regularly watch the show, but the game chronicles all the events. Well, I doubt if it chronicles all the events.
This is a 5-star rating that says, this is a great game so far. The graphics are very cool, and it seems to hold true to the show. If you're a fan of Lost, you'll want to snag this one.
The next one is a 5-star rating. I really enjoy playing this game. I recommend buying it, especially if you're a Lost fan like myself.
The next one is a 1-star rating, and the title is, Don't Push the Button. Don't do it. I know it's tempting, and you're curious. Save the money. The game is short and simple. It was just kind of fun. And then it ended.
I like that.
I like it, too.
Well, let's find out who that person is, see if we can get him to do some reviews for us.
Yeah, that's great.
I like that. Here's a 5 out of 5. Be the first. Tell the truth, it says. I've just downloaded this game. Well, if he's just downloaded it, how's he already played it?
I don't know.
Anyway, I like Lost, and I downloaded it. Gameloft is one of the best mobile game developers, so I guess I won't have anything to complain. Also, the preview video is great. I can't imagine iPod can play this game. Have fun. Okay.
He hasn't even played yet.
He hasn't even played yet.
You watch the title screen. Okay.
And he gave it a 5 out of 5. What an idiot.
Just for the cinematics.
And the next one.
Horrible game. 1-star. I'm not a fan of the show, and I'm not a fan of the game. 5 levels? Am I lost? I beat this game in about an hour and don't usually play games, and what's up with the to be continued? Am I going to have to pay $5 more for 5 more levels? that I'll never play again. Come on, Apple. You've done so much better than this.
Well, that sounds pretty fair, too.
I like the honest ones.
No, yeah. Next one, Get Lost and Lost. 5 out of 5. Fun game if you're a Lost fan, it's a must-have. Okay.
I'm going to skip down because there's a 3-star on this crate. Awesome idea, 20 minutes later. This is it? Wow. Finally, a cool game for the iPod. I watched the preview and bought the game. As soon as I spent 20 minutes playing and got past the 5th level of the screen, read to be continued, what the freak? Where did the game go? iTunes, go make a game that can at least run for an hour and then we'll talk.
So, without even downloading it myself, it sounds like the people that are giving it 5 out of 5 so far are fanboys that like Lost. Which is cool. I like Lost too. I never thought about playing a video game about it. Because Lost is a very plot-driven, character-driven story with
a
mystery.
And although there are some action sequences, it's not really an action
show. No, it's not an action. Yeah, I could see something on Heroes, but not Lost.
Yeah.
Some of them are reviewing it before they've even played it, which is like, yeah, okay. But the ones that seem to have actually played it, and they're like, okay, 20 minutes, I'm done with the game. There's only 5 levels, so it's basically a buck a level. And it says to be continued, which to me means
there's going to be another set
another
after
game.
Next season or after this season or whenever.
So. Yeah, and there's going to be another game probably soon. They're going to want to capitalize on this, probably at the beginning of the next season of Lost.
Yeah.
Because as we record this, a Wednesday, a day earlier than usual, which is why Guy's not here, by the way, I don't think I'm going to buy this game.
No.
There's a video. It said preview. Is there a preview that we can actually see? Preview. Is it going to... Okay, here's a little Lost. Crappy graphics so far. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. It looks like something for the old SNES.
Or Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Well, it's not looking very good.
It's all right for something that plays on an iPod.
It's basically you use your scroll wheel to point in directions and do little tasks. Okay, that's over now. Meh.
Yeah.
Meh. I think I might safely skip this one.
Yeah.
I didn't buy the other iPod game that came out, maybe 3-4 weeks ago. The new iQuiz. It's only 99 cents. I'd like to do that. You know what I really like that they did was they released a version of Pac-Man. And they've got a free trial version of it. You can demo Pac-Man on your iPod without paying for it. That's a good idea. Give us a demo.
Yeah.
Not a preview, a little video that we watch. Give us an actual, let me play it, and if I like it, then I'll buy it. That's a good idea. But, it's Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
You know, you're either going to buy Ms. Pac-Man or you're not. You don't need to demo Ms. Pac-Man to see if you want to buy it's Ms. Pac-Man. It's the same now as it was in 83.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I don't think they added anything to it. But other than that, I don't know how excited I really am about iPod games. It's just a really crappy control system for video games. It's a scroll wheel, and it's just not intuitive.
No.
It's kind of, I don't know. The screen's not really large enough to play video games on it seriously. Granted, it's about the same size as a Game Boy Advance, but
right.
I don't know. I think it's a neat little thing that they're doing with it, but you know.
Well, but you know, I think that's their take on it too. I think it's a neat little thing that they're doing with it, but that's really not what the device is about.
Donnie Yanko posted a blog, and it's called iPod Games and Future iPods. And he writes, I'm a fan of the iPod, of iPod games. I own several, and for me, they are perfect. I don't own a Game Boy or a PSP, and I don't plan to. I do plan on buying more games in the future, assuming they are worth my money. Here's my question. Will these games be compatible with future iPods? Good question. Based on what we have seen on the iPhone, I'm guessing they won't work with that. If they will, why didn't Steve have mention of that in his presentation back in January? Many believe an iPhone-like iPod is coming, minus the phone, and I believe that too. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that games won't work on that either? In other words, the games that they're currently selling. Yeah. Will Apple continue to sell some version of the current iPod and make the full-screen iPod the top-of-the-line model? So far, music and videos have always worked from iPod to iPod to iPhone. Mm-hmm. And it's true. If you buy a video that works on the iPod, right, it's going to work on the iPhone. All the music's going to work. Mm-hmm. What about the games? I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah.
But because it is a touch screen, how much better would video games be on the iPod or on the iPhone than they would be on the iPod?
Well, and let's also not forget about the fact that you do have a proc sensor that will sense the tilt of the device.
Yeah.
So you could obviously use that as a control mechanism.
They can do the whole Nintendo Wii type of motion control thing going. That might be kind of interesting.
Because there are some games. I mean, there's some games that I play on for the PSP, like Mercury is one of them, where, you know, it's all about just tilting the playing field to move something around.
So. Right. Klaus Wolf posted a blog. We were mentioning that he's in Ann Arbor, Michigan, yep, this week. And he went into Sears to buy an iPod, and there's a huge display out front of the Zune. He could have picked up the Zune and walked up and bought it right then. Mm-hmm. And a whole big display of iPod accessories, but no iPods. They're all behind the counter locked up. Why? Well, there's a couple things. Number one, Microsoft is probably paying a lot of retailers to really push the Zune. If you go into Walmart, they've got a huge display for Zune. I know Target does, and it sounds like Sears does as well. They're not getting that much prominent placement
without
because those
That's
retailers
right.
think, oh, this is a groovy product. Mm-hmm. Microsoft's paying for that.
Yep.
So that's one reason. The other reason is nobody's shoplifting the Zune.
No, that's not what I was going to say. No one's stealing the Zune.
You know, let's be honest. If there was like a rash of Zune thefts, Microsoft would be sending out, because of the popularity of the Zune, you know what I mean? They'd spin it.
We're expanding our Zune subscription services and our Urge service.
Urge! Nobody. The Zune is so good, it's not even being shoplifted. That's good. And the iPod, you know damn well if they had a whole bunch of 60 gig iPods just sitting out front,
they'd be gone.
They would be stolen in a heartbeat. I think that's hilarious. That's just too funny. So, remember, folks, don't steal iPods and don't steal the Zune. And don't steal music. Unless, you know, you can't buy it any other way.
Mm.
There's a lot of songs that I've stolen that, you know, I couldn't buy it.
Yeah.
It's not on CD. It wasn't on the iTunes Music Store.
Mm-hmm.
But some guy on LimeWire had a version of it.
Yeah.
And I knew the song because I already owned the cassette tape.
Mm-hmm.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
I see that. Yeah,
so we're going to wrap it up with Chad and I for this week's show. Robert Hazerwig's review is coming up. And I'm quite sure he told me what it was, but at the moment I don't really remember because it's Wednesday, and it just felt weird to do the show today.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for Thursdays for, what, almost a year now?
Yeah, but you got to remember our original recording date
was Wednesday. Yeah. I like Thursday better because more of the news for the week's happened.
Yeah.
But for us, we did the show Thursday. Mm-hmm. Nothing's really happened since then in the Apple world, not really.
Yeah.
And I just posted the show on Monday, and here it's Wednesday, and to me it feels like we just did that show.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just listened to it yesterday. So it's like, I just did the show, and here I'm doing another one.
Well, frankly, are we going to really expect anything big from Apple until WWDC?
No.
It's, and the iPhone release?
Well, I would have said no, but last week a MacBook was released.
That's true. They did have the new MacBooks.
It is faster, yeah. So, but they're still not using the brand new Intel chips.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would say probably not. My gut instinct says no, we're not going to see anything between now and WWDC. But with Apple, you just never know.
True.
We'd love to hear feedback from all of you listeners out there. We do have a telephone number. You can simply call it, leave a voice message, and we'll play it on the show.
And that number is 1-801-538-4300. 5559.
We do have a Apple certified technician on staff. His name's Tom Schmidt. He's always looking for problems to solve. So if you have a Mac problem, you just can't figure it out, email tom@mymac.com, and it will show up in a future column of his.
Yep.
Got anything else, Chad?
That's going to do it for me.
Cool, because I've got some cool videos that I found online I wanted to show you to make you laugh.
All right.
Especially about a cop eating marijuana brownies.
Oh, oh,
you got to see that one. Google it. Michigan cop eats marijuana brownies. Google it, listeners. It'll crack you up. It's really, really funny. So that's it for this week. We'll see you next week, and hopefully we'll have some special guests coming up in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
Say bye, Chad.
Bye, Chad.
Well, unlike what I said earlier in the show, it turns out David Cohen and Robert Hazelrig actually did send in segments this week, so we're going to jump right into those now. And for those curious, I'm actually recording this part of the podcast with my iTalk from Griffin Technologies hooked up to the iPod. Pretty cool.
Hello, my name is David Cohen, and I'm the London Bureau Chief for MyMac.com. Welcome to Fenestration, my guide to using a Mac in a Windows world. Welcome to Fenestration number 31. Previous listeners to Fenestration will be familiar with my discussions about the upcoming version of Microsoft Office that will be Office 2008 for Mac, and the prospects of some file converters to allow us Mac users to read files from Office 2007 for Windows. By default, Office 2007 for Windows saves files in a new file format called OpenXML, and these files are not compatible with Office 2004 for Mac. Now, a file conversion pack to enable these files to be read on early versions of Office for Windows has been available from Microsoft for some time. But up until recently, we've been waiting for file converters for Office for Mac. The Macintosh business units at Microsoft had previously promised to get these files to us in beta form by the second quarter of this year. And accordingly, recently they did release a beta of a Microsoft Word file converter. Unfortunately, this is the only converter that they're releasing at the moment, and the latest indications from them are that the full conversion suite will not ship until at least 8 weeks after Microsoft Office 2008 for Mac is shipped. I've discussed at length in the past on Fenestration my belief that the Macintosh business unit at Microsoft is severely under-resourced, and this is one reason why these files are being delayed. Now, when I first heard about the converter, I wasn't overly impressed. It only converts Word files, as I said, and it also converts them from the DOCX OpenXML format in the Windows platform to RTF on the Macintosh. Now, RTF is quite a good cross-platform standard, but it doesn't support many of the same formatting features that Microsoft Word does. So the fact that the files are being generated in RTF implies that the formatting might not be the same as they were on the Windows platform. I've downloaded and installed the program. I was surprised how big it is. When it's installed, it takes nearly 75 megabytes of space and has around about 8,000 individual components. So it's quite a hefty program. I can only assume that the conversion functionality for the other Office documents is actually available in the program, though it's been turned off at this stage. Actually using it, it's quite slick. It basically opens up an application window you can drag Word documents to, and it also changes the DOCX extension, so it automatically registers the application. So if you have a Windows file and you double-click on it, the application automatically opens and is converted. Conversion speed on a 1.83 GHz MacBook was quite good, around about 20 to 25 seconds, even for a 15-20-page Word document. And the resulting RTF file didn't actually look too bad at all. It was reasonably close to the formatting of the original Word file on the Windows platform. Though I did notice that if documents had embedded images, those didn't really seem to get converted properly and ended up being much larger in the RTF file and overspilling the edge of the pages than they did in the original Word document. Now, as I say, the converter only supports basic formatting, so you won't get anything complicated coming over. You won't get any specific Office 2007 features coming over, like the new SmartArt or WordArt or anything like that, and you won't get any Visual Basic coming over. Of course, the other limitation is that while you can edit these documents you may have received from Office 2007 for Windows users, you can't send them back to them in the same format they sent them to you. So in terms of round-tripping documents and doing collaborative working, that is still a bit of a problem. If you want to share documents with proper formatting between Windows users and yourself, you might be better to recommend your Windows colleagues look at a PDF creation tool. Many of these are available for free now for Windows. Having said that, I was pleasantly surprised. Microsoft has actually done a reasonable job on this, even bearing in mind the functionality they're offering at the moment is quite limited. This does enhearten me somewhat that when the final conversion kit comes out and the full round-tripping back and forth between Windows and Mac versions of Office happens, that it actually will be relatively effective. As things stand at the moment, this isn't a particularly fantastic solution for round-tripping between Windows and Mac. And again, my previous advice, I believe, would still stand. If you need to share files with Office 2007 for Windows users, and you're running an Intel Mac, it might behoove you to actually install Parallels and Windows XP and a copy of Office 2007 and work natively in the same program. That's going to do it for this session. As always, questions or comments to davidcohen@mymac.com. Until the next time.
Hello, Robert Hazelrig here. Today I'd like to talk to you about On1 software. That's O-N-O-N-E software, which makes a variety of Photoshop plugins. And yes, these Photoshop plugins will work with CS2 or CS3 versions of Photoshop. I know this for certain because I've tested them on both CS2 and CS3 myself. The three packages of On1 software I'd like to talk to you about consist of Mask Pro 4.1, PhotoFrame Pro, and Genuine Fractals. Now, Genuine Fractals, in case you're not familiar with it, is a software application or plugin for Photoshop that allows you to take very small images and make them rather large. I don't know if you've ever tried, but if you've ever taken a image from the web that's 72 dpi and actually tried to print from it, that is, on a traditional offset printer, so if you wanted to use it in magazine or newspaper print production or even on a billboard, the quality of images that you get from it are somewhat pixelated, or they have a janky, jaggy sort of edge to it. Almost it looks like the edges of some of the imagery has a water ripple around it. Well, if you were to use Genuine Fractals, you would not get that type of results. Yes, Genuine Fractals will allow you to enlarge your low-res images to print production resolution and actually get a very good quality. Good enough in most cases that you could actually use it for a traditional offset printer. There are a few other applications out there on the market that do this. A lot of you might be familiar with Alien Skin Blow Up. The difference with Genuine Fractals is Genuine Fractals doesn't add any type of texture or noise to the image, which tends to be the way those other applications like Alien Skin Blow Up work. As they blow up the image, they add noise and other types of textures to the file to alleviate that type of ripple around the edge of your images. Compared to some of the other Photoshop plugins that I've used to do these types of enlargements, I must say Genuine Fractals is definitely my preferred way to enlarge my images. Now on to On1's software called PhotoFrame Pro. Every once in a while when I'm working on a design, I'm looking for something extra, something different, something that I haven't done before. You know, just to give my artwork a little bit of an edge, something to make it more interesting than this traditional round or square picture box. So, how do you go about doing that? Well, PhotoFrame Pro will help you with this, because what PhotoFrame Pro does is it actually takes your photography and creates an artistic edge to the imagery that you have. PhotoFrame Pro is very easy to use. You simply open up the PhotoFrame palette from within the filters menu. From there, all you need to do is select any one of the frames from the number of collections that they have and click on it, and it's simply added to your Photoshop document. Now, finally, I'd like to talk to you about Mask Pro. Of all the masking technology applications that I've used, and I have used a number going way back into the
late 90s, there have been a number of masking technologies that you've been able to plug into Photoshop, and I must say that nearly none of them work very well. However, Mask Pro does work well. Although, out of these three plugins, it is my least favorite, it does the job it's supposed to do. One of the most difficult and arduous tasks that you ever have to do when working in Photoshop is creating a complex mask. And a complex mask consists of usually something like someone's hair or the outline of a tree or, you know, something that has very fine detail that you're trying to generally remove a background from. Well, Mask Pro allows you to go through and highlight what you want to keep and what you don't want to keep with some simple tools. The way you go about telling the software what you want and don't want is by using a series of different colored brushes. The red brush is for items that you don't want to keep, and the green brush is for items that you do want to keep. You use these brushes around the edges or color areas that you either want to eliminate or retain. Both Mask Pro and PhotoFrame Pro retail for $159. Genuine Fractals retails for $300. However, later this month, On1 Software will be releasing a plugin suite that will retail for $400. So for just $100 more than what you would spend on Genuine Fractals, you also get Mask Pro, PhotoFrame Pro, and IntelliHance. And IntelliHance is a one-click solution for color correcting your Photoshop images. All of On1 Software is available at their website, and you can download 30-day trial demos of each of the applications I mentioned here today so you can try it out to see if you think that they're worth the money. Finally, all of On1's Photoshop plugins have a very simple and easy-to-use interface, and I do recommend them. Well, that's it for me this week. This has been Robert Hazelrig talking to you about On1 Photoshop plugins. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.